We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So, I have often said to you over the last 4 years that the Bible was never written to be a science book, nor was it ever written to be a history book. The Bible is a book of faith. And when you read the Bible as a book of faith, all sorts of things just kind of open up for you. For example, what I have said is that the most controversial words ever written by humans, I think, is found in Genesis 1:1, the very beginning, where the writer of Genesis in a beautiful Hebrew poem declares, "In the beginning, God created." Now, the reason why that's controversial is because up until that day, that moment, that sentence, no one would ever think of a God, one, nor would someone think of a God who would create this, nor would they think of a one God who created this that would be intimately involved with us. But that's the purpose of the beginning. It is a controversial, "In the beginning, God created." And it is, I think, the most controversial statement ever written. But then also, if you flip over quite a few books, I think you will find what I believe to be the most revolutionary words ever written. And they weren't just words, they were a song. This song was sung that turned the world upside down. In fact, I'm not the only one who thinks it's revolutionary. There are scholars and theologians and people a whole lot smarter than me who call it a revolution manifesto. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian and biblical scholar, simply says that this song is like a bombshell. And he says in this song, these 9 verses, 10 verses, 11 verses, there are 3 revolutions being talked about. There's a moral revolution, the political revolution, and the economic revolution. I mean, this is powerful stuff. So, in the 1980s, just so you know, the president of Guatemala banned the public reading of this part of the Bible because they said it was too subversive to be read out loud. So if you have your Bibles and you're just dying to know what it is, open your Bible to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Those of you who, like me, are recovering Catholics, how many recovering Catholics do we have? You don't even have to open it. You have it memorized, right? This is the Magnificat. And it is Mary who has just been visited by the angel Gabriel. And by the way, if you go to Bethlehem Live following this, you will see Mary being visited by our own angel Gabriel. Would you please stand, Mr. Gabriel? There you go. Now, what I didn't want to tell this costume people is Gabriel was an angel of war. I mean, he guarded. He was not. You're just too nice to be Gabriel. Okay. So I'm going to read Mary's song after she finds out God has chosen her. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he had made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. It's an amazing, amazing scripture passage. And just so if you're a guest and you're wondering about the recovering Catholic thing, I was raised Catholic, very much so, Italian Catholic family. And my theory is once you're a Catholic, you're always a Catholic. You can't ever lose that part of who you are. And so we have a group called Recovering Catholics. And it's a solid group. But for those of us who are, we know this. It's called the Magnificat because of the way it begins. And it begins with, Mary sings out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and I rejoice in my God." There are other versions, and some versions will tell you, it says, "My heart glorifies the Lord," and there's one that says, "My heart praises the Lord." The problem is that's not what Mary said. What Mary said in the original language was, "My heart, my soul magnifies the Lord." And magnify is important here because, you know, what does magnify mean? When we say something is magnified, it's larger. And for Mary, what I'm saying is magnified means this. Do we have it up? Nope, not that one. There we go. Something is to give it an extraordinary large place in your life. You want to know what you magnify? When you're daydreaming, like right now, whatever it is your mind wanders to, chances are that's what you magnify. What you shape your character around, that's what you magnify. What your identity gets wrapped into, that's what you magnify. It's everything about, if you have this, whatever it is you magnify, you have joy. If you don't have it, you have sorrow. And being a human being means you will magnify something in your life. For example, an alcoholic magnifies alcohol. A workaholic usually magnifies success. There are people who magnify power. There are people who magnify stuff. There are people who magnify sex. There are people who magnify cultural status. Whatever it is that is so important that becomes your defining purpose, that's what you magnify. If you really want to know what you magnify, ask your friends, ask your loved ones. The people are going to be honest with you. I always am afraid to ask that because I'm afraid, like, if I ask Zach or Connor, they'll say, "Well, you magnify the Mets." I know, it's a sickness, and there's no cure. But we magnify something. And so for the longest time, I really couldn't figure out what in the world was Mary magnifying when she said, "I am magnifying the Lord." For Mary, what did that possibly mean? Well, when we changed the whole sermon series, I had to kind of step back. I had to think about, you know, what, and so I've been struggling with that, and it finally hit me. What I think Mary magnified wasn't just an obedience to God. I think what she magnified when she heard this announcement that was going to change her life, when her life was interrupted by this angel Gabriel who said, "The Lord has chosen you." I think what this young teenage girl magnified was making God's love known to the world. That's what I think. I think what this young teenager magnified, instead of living the life that she had planned, she gave birth to the Savior of the world. She was the prophetic answer, and that John declared, "The Word became flesh and dwell among us." Because of her willingness to magnify, to bring God's love here, God becomes Emmanuel. God is with us. And so for me, what she magnified in the Lord was this love that she had for God, and magnified the love that God had for the world, so that I believe for the rest of her life, everyone who ran into her, everyone who had contact with her, could feel, could taste this love. And then she made sure that this love came down at Christmas, and the world was changed. See, this teenage girl was invited by Gabriel to take part in the Christmas story. She was invited. In fact, I think she was probably the first one invited. But she wasn't the last. Because you and I are invited to take part of the Christmas story. Not the one that happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but the one that happens here. The Christmas story that happens here right now. In fact, the Christmas story that happens every day. Like Mary, what I believe is you and I are being invited to make God's love known to the world. That's what Christmas is. Love came down so that the world would get a glimpse, would get a taste of the love that God has for us. And the way we make God's love known to the world is when we choose love. It's when we choose love over fear, or love over hate, or love over apathy. Now, it's not an easy choice. I mean, it's easy for us to preach about, right? It's easy for us to say. But at the end of the day, it is not an easy choice. Because you see, when we love someone, there is something required of us. I just can't say I love you. I am required to give myself to you. And what makes it really hard is when I love someone, it also requires that I am willing to change. And let's just be honest. Most of us don't like to change. I mean, most of us think we're pretty good just the way we are. And if you go to premarital counseling, if you go to counseling for a relationship, the counselor will tell you, you can never change your spouse. Whatever your spouse does that bugs you now is going to bug you worse when you get married, right? And in 40 years, it's going to bug you even more. What you think is cute now ain't so cute 40 years from now, right? And you're not going to change that person. If you marry someone thinking, okay, show of hands. Those of you who've been married for more than 30 years. No, wait, not yet, don't show your hand. Because I know your husband, okay, and there's no way you've changed him. How many of you have changed your spouse in 30 years? Raise your hand. Anyone? Going once? Going twice? No, you do not change another person. If I love Jill, I am willing to change whether I want to change or not. I am willing out of love to have my heart, to have my actions, to have my spirit, to have my soul changed. And when we do that, that's love. That's what it means to magnify the Lord. That's what Mary was talking about. Now, I don't know about you. There's some things I love about the Christmas season, right? I love the music. I just love it. I love decorating the house. I love putting the tree up, putting lights up, putting the snow village up. All that, I love all that. But my favorite part of Christmas is are the Christmas specials, the movies, right? And so I thought a lot about that this past week. And I realized that of all the Christmas movies, except for Matt's favorite, Die Hard, they all have something in common. See, in all Christmas movies, except for Die Hard, the main character undergoes some sort of transformation. And all the Christmas music movies, other than Die Hard, the main character has a change. He's different. She's different from the beginning of the movie and then at the end of the movie, right? Am I wrong? Okay, name a movie. That was a movie? It's a song. No. Okay, Little Drummer Boy, what was the transformation? He does too. He thought his gift was not worthy, and by the end of the song, never saw the cartoon, it was worthy. It's a Wonderful Life. Starring who? Character? George Bailey. What was his transformation? Began the movie, right? He had no hope. In fact, he was so hopeless, he was going to do what? He was going to jump off a bridge and kill himself. You don't kill yourself unless you have no hope. And by the end of the movie, George Bailey is loved by those people around him, and he becomes hopeful and optimistic. He is changed. Someone asked me about Rudolph. That's an easy one, right? Right? He was teased. He had low self-esteem. He was on a shrink's couch because of it. And by the end of the movie, he was a star, and he realized that his little red nose actually mattered, and he saw himself as a gift from God. That's Rudolph. I can go on and on. You want the easiest? Scrooge, right? That's just too easy. Yes, ma'am. The which one? Wait a second. What now? Ralphie. Oh, someone asked me that. Okay, what's Ralphie's? I figured it out during... Okay, what is it? What's his transformation? Really? I got it. His transformation was, what did he want for Christmas? The only thing he wanted was a BB gun, right? But by the end of the movie, he realized that the BB gun wasn't going to solve all his issues. And he realized what he really wanted for Christmas was the love of his family. Watch the movie. And how many of us do that? We have the perfect gift. What about Elf? That's a B movie. We don't talk about it. I never saw it. I can't speak about it. I never saw it. So let me move on because we're on my time. I never saw it. So I'm just. I can do Frosty. I can do Frosty. Huh? Well, stand up. Stand up. Help me out. Come on. Up. Stand up. Okay. We have an aunt. Who asked about the elf? Who was trying to trick me? Go. Oh, figures. You from Florida. Go back. Go. There you go. Ha! Have you ever seen, Jill, how come we never saw Elf? I feel like a loser. No, I don't want to watch it tonight. We're running, what, 8 miles tonight? Yeah, we're not watching Elf. But probably the most famous and my favorite, one of the biggest changes, and I'm really going to go out on a limb here. Last week, we were 100% on Wizard of Oz, right? Struck out on Game of Thrones, struck out on Star Wars, but Wizard of Oz, everyone saw it. So I'm going on a limb. One person at 8 o'clock never saw it, never read it. So here we go. I'm willing to bet that everyone has seen or read How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Is there anyone who has not seen it? Yes. Wait, did you just raise your hand? You didn't see it? You read the book? Oh, we got to get you the book. What kind of husband are you? You don't let Darn. One in the 8, one in the 10:30. But you want to talk a transformation, right? I mean, right? I love the way it begins. It's my favorite beginning of all the Dr. Seuss books. And it goes, every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. And I love that because it sets up the entire thing. What you understand and what you learn is that the Grinch hates Christmas. You never find out why. You just know he hates Christmas and everything to do with it. He hates the music, hates the food, hates the gifts, hates the tree, hates the lights. And so he makes a plot, right? And what does he do? What does he do? Someone help me. He gets his dog, make him look like a reindeer, and gets the sled, and he goes down to Whoville. I just like saying Whoville. He goes down to Whoville, and he steals everything of the Whos. He steals their food. He steals their gifts, their trees, their lights, their garland, not even one, remember, one little morsel for those of you who are Dr. Seuss fans, all of it. And in doing so, he knew that Christmas wasn't going to happen. Because what he believed is Christmas was about that. However, something happens. And I'm going to let the good doctor, Dr. Seuss, tell you what happens. Now, it's not hard to figure out what happened, right? The Grinch saw the love that the Whos had inside them and realized that nothing's going to take that love away. And he was changed. He was transformed when he realized that, because that's what Christmas is. Maybe that's the meaning of it. Love came down, and we are reminded that we are loved. We are reminded every week that there is nothing we can do that will ever make God stop loving us. We are reminded of that. And because we are reminded of the love that cannot be taken away, then we are invited into the Christmas story today to bring that love to this world, to each other, to our community, to your home, to your families, to your loved ones, to the people who make your blood boil. To the people who, when they walk in the room, you just want to walk away. We are called to bring the love that came down at Christmas to this world. 2,000 years ago, Mary made a choice. And her choice, well, she sang it. My soul magnifies the Lord, and I rejoice in my God. But what are you going to choose? Let your soul magnify the Lord. And then maybe together we can make this home, this place, our home. And it can be a place filled with grace, filled with community, filled with hope, but most of all, filled with love. That's how you magnify your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, I want you guys, if you will, to stand for a moment. I don't know if you've noted. Here's what we're doing. Since four years ago, people kind of didn't like that I didn't go out there, right, to the back. And reason why I didn't go is because I can't, because you guys are holding hands. But we developed a way to make this happen. So I am now taking off after the benediction, and I'm in the thing by the door doing what preachers are supposed to do. No, it's not that. I'm going to hug you whether you come through the door or not. So we're going to end with what we're calling our theme song, because we're inviting you to come home to make this place your home. And so after the benediction, don't leave, because you'll beat me out there. And I'm just, because I got to go all the way around. So we need you to stand and stay and sing with Kimball, because she's amazing. If you're a first-time guest, on your way out, we have a book we'd like to give you, a devotional called Jesus Calling. So pick it up. So now, hold hands with those people who are around you. Don't forget, over in the fellowship hall, if you have not bought a ticket, let me give you the secret. If you're not gotten a ticket, you want to go, let me give you the secret. Just go to the door and say, Marty says it's okay, and they'll let you in. Okay, and if they don't, call me, and we'll just have them fired, all right? Okay. And now would you receive this benediction, and now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. See you next week.